Our guest on our program today is Tom Kinert, Iowa State University Extension.
Thanks so much for having me.
And tell everybody your position.
So I am a food and health specialist. I cover a 10-county area, including Boone County. And I teach food safety classes and nutrition classes throughout those counties.
And I will tell you, folks, he was disappointed nobody showed up when we wanted to do food safety classes. When RAGBRAI was coming through, you were trying to, because a lot of people get out there and do things, and you wanted to make sure that they did it safely.
Absolutely, absolutely.
Safe, all part of the Safe Serve program.
So. So Serve Safe is a class that I teach. No worries. Yeah, Serve Safe is a class that I teach. I do a couple times, about three times in Boone. We also teach it over in Ames and Perry and surrounding areas. So if you need Serve Safe, come check us out. We would love to have you.
And for folks, if you go to a restaurant, you look above the checkout or where the cashier is, and if they usually have a Serve Safe certificate hanging there, you're going, all right.
Absolutely.
They've been through the training.
Yeah.
So let's talk a little bit about Thanksgiving's coming up, and this is a whole area where Extension's got a ton of information, more than any one person should really have at their fingertips. No, it is a lot. There's a lot of things, and a lot of different things to look at, not just serve safe, but doing that properly. You know, I know there's I always crack up about, you know, who do you call about thawing out a turkey and things
like that.
But there's just getting ready for the holiday meal and stuff like that, doing it properly. There's great ways to shop for things and different ideas out there on how to do it.
Absolutely. So anytime you're cooking for yourself, it's obviously important that you don't want to make yourself sick. There are pathogens and bacteria and viruses just out and around the world and on the farm and in the dirt and on your produce. And so it's very important that we wash our hands, wash our produce, try and reduce those to safe levels. And especially, if you're cooking for other people, either in a restaurant or during a holiday meal, the choices you make can make a big difference to the people that you're serving. So it's always make sure that you start with a clean kitchen, start with clean hands. So, you know, if you're like me, sometimes it's hard to find a spot in your kitchen to prep when there's, you know, dirty dishes everywhere. And
there is that part. Yeah.
So clearing yourself a good workspace, washing your hands, getting a fresh, clean cutting board. Very, very important to reducing the chances that you're going to make people sick.
All right. So let's go with when they're out there, they're going to be looking at, let's start with the shopping part. Let's get ready.
Sure.
We're going to be looking for our holiday meal. You know, what do we want? Are we going to use canned things? Are we going to buy regular produce and then cook it? Different things to look at. What kinds of things do we look at? Make sure we get fresh and make sure we get what's good for us.
Sure, absolutely. So Spend Smart, Eat Smart is a really great website and app available from Iowa State Extension. It's available on the Apple Store and the Google Play Store. So it's called Spend Smart, Eat Smart. And there's the thing that I love about that that app and that website is there's a lot of information out there. There's a million, you can Google any recipe anymore. But what's really great about the Spend Smart, Eat Smart recipe website is that so we have these low cost, high nutrient, low sodium recipes. And the thing that I like about them is that they're often very simple. And so, you don't need to go buy 78 ingredients to make dinner. I'm going to keep referring back to that. If you're interested in maybe thinking about some sides that you haven't done previously, or if you're just trying to kind of eat on a budget, Spend Smart, Eat Smart is a really great resource available anytime.
You can get good ideas off that, too. Maybe you want to try different sides or something.
Exactly. And, I obviously work in public health, so I'm always pushing fruits and vegetables. Yeah. You don't have to put marshmallows all over your vegetables. So just appreciating the natural flavors and the crunch, sweet potatoes or yams, they're delicious. And I think, I personally don't feel the need to bury them in marshmallows. But what's great about our website and is on there is there's also a lot of information on shopping smart. So frozen veggies and canned vegetables have very similar nutrient content to fresh, but they are obviously less perishable.
Okay.
And there's a lot of ways to utilize them in your recipes. So don't be, I mean, obviously fresh is great, and I obviously love fresh fruits and vegetables, but just don't be afraid to use frozen or canned if that's what you need.
So always like look at the label on the canned ones, yep. I'm sure, because there's some preservatives in there. So.
A lot of like canned veggies have a lot of salt. So when they give you the option for a low sodium one, we certainly recommend that. But if you're concerned about your sodium intake, you can also just drain them and then rinse them off, and that should reduce the sodium.
Yeah. And fresh usually are, we know what fresh is, but the frozen, they usually, it's a lot of times just quick freeze those.
Yes. Stuff. Yeah. There's nothing wrong with frozen veggies. And I'm on an average day. There's a couple of frozen veggies that I always reach for. I got a family at home, and sometimes you're just hungry and you need to make something. So, utilizing frozen veggies is nothing to be ashamed of.
We kind of are into the steamers. We like doing some of those.
Oh, absolutely.
So it's easy to grab those and stuff. Okay, so spend smart, eat smart.
Yes.
Okay. And you can find your recipes there. Some people will have the traditional, like the green bean casserole and things like that.
Absolutely.
You're always going to have those. Then the other part is getting everything made.
Sure.
And you got to stage it, of course. If you're making a big meal. But for a lot of people, if you have a smaller family, something like this, instead of getting like a whole turkey, unless you're going to be freezing some of it or keeping some or using it, but like just a turkey breast.
Absolutely, yeah. We can get just a turkey breast. And honestly, if you have a small family or you're just cooking for yourself or one other person, I don't think there's anything wrong with just purchasing a chicken. I think we all can agree chicken is delicious, but for some reason we seem to laugh at that with, oh, no, this is a turkey holiday. And I don't know. I think chicken with gravy sounds pretty good to me.
I think you should have turkey year-round. So that's just
exactly.
Me. I mean, you can grill it. You can do a lot of things with it, too. So I've done that, and that's okay. Now, we do know that, let's talk about the turkey first.
Yeah.
If you got it, obviously, start defrosting it, because most people get frozen.
Yes.
Now, so we've had the bird flu thing, which I thought was, I got to keep reminding people, because I've heard from the Turkey Federation people, don't worry about it. That affects what we're doing in Iowa. A lot of the frozen turkeys people are going to get, we're already in the queue, if you will, or, you know, already done and shipped to stores. They were done a little earlier.
Sure. When you're thawing your turkey, the safest way is to plan ahead and just do it in the refrigerator. So there's a temperature danger zone between 41 and 135. This is the area that bacteria loves to grow in. And so the longer food spends in that temperature danger zone, the more you have given the opportunity to bacteria to thrive and spread and grow. And so the best choice is to plan ahead and thaw out your turkey in the refrigerator, because then it never enters that temperature danger zone in the first place. It does take several days, depending on the size that you get. But don't just set it out on your counter for several hours or a day or two and wait for it to thaw out. There's a higher chance that you're going to be...
It will go above that before that.
Oh, absolutely, yeah.
It'll go above that.
Exactly. So the best choice is to plan ahead. Your next best choice is to thaw it in water. So while it's still in that vacuum-packed container, put it in like a nice big stock pot, put it in your sink, and then have a continual cold water running over it. I know it's going to be tempting. You're going to want to use that hot water and try and thaw it out real quick. You don't want to use water any higher than 70 degrees, so just room temperature. So having that continuous running water, doing that over a course of a couple hours will make a difference, and it's what you certainly see in restaurants when they're trying to thaw something in a hurry.
Going real fast. The better thing, really, plan ahead, make some space in your fridge,
yep,
and get it in there several days.
Yep.
Don't think a day and a half is going to be enough for it.
Absolutely. Absolutely.
So several days, and that's the best option. I know you can also cook them from frozen, and that's an option too for some people. Some of them are a little nervous about that because they want to stuff them and everything. Stuffing a turkey, let's talk about that when you get ready, because that is, I'm thinking, an area where you need to be pretty careful on contamination.
Just in general, when poultry has the highest chance of getting people sick. So that's why we cook, chicken and turkey to 165, whereas you only cook like a steak to 145. So it's very important that we take poultry safety very seriously, because obviously we've heard of salmonella outbreaks. And yeah, you're serving your whole, you know, if you're serving a group of people, you really would hate if you got all those people sick. So trying to make sure that you're washing your hands. I advise also just buying some gloves. They often have just those inexpensive plastic gloves.
Sure.
In kitchens, they often use nitrile because they don't have latex.
Yeah.
But I personally just have a cutting board this is my chicken cutting board or turkey sure. cutting board.
This is what I use for poultry.
Exactly. There's no chance I'm going to be cutting broccoli on this. This is only for what I know is the most dangerous. So reducing that cross-contamination by, you know, your hands are the vehicle of contamination often. So washing your hands, wearing gloves can be very beneficial. Not required, but very beneficial. It's required if you're in restaurants, but if you're at home, obviously, it's a little different. But washing your hands, having clean equipment makes a big, big difference. And yeah, thawing your turkey, trying to reduce that chance that you're going to be contaminating your other food with that the turkey liquid.
So yeah, well, water just spraying off it too.
Absolutely,
things like that. Those are things that'll end up on your countertop and stuff like that.
Don't rinse your chickens. Don't rinse your turkeys. There's a higher chance that you're going to make yourself sick by doing that. And honestly, there's no real reason to do that. I used to work in food service for a long time, and you know, if you go to a restaurant, no one's rinsing their chickens in a restaurant. I know that's something some people like to do. I'm not exactly sure why. If you're wanting to get a nice crispy skin on your chicken or your turkey, it is beneficial to pat it dry and then mm-hmm. season it. And yeah, so mm-hmm. if you pat it dry, it's going to end up a little bit crispier.
So let's talk about those that do fresh birds, because mm-hmm. there are those that do that and might even maybe even a hunter or two will bring in a turkey they've gotten or mm. something like that. So What do we do with fresh birds? We don't have to thaw it, of course, but you still have to treat it the same way.
Absolutely, yeah. As I said, chickens, turkeys, highest chance that you're going to get somebody sick. So that's why we cook it to the highest temperature. So yeah, whether it's a frozen bird, a wild bird, a farm raised bird, mm-hmm. it's very important that we are cooking these to at least 165. And so when you are cooking, you know, you got your turkey and you pull it out of the oven. It's important to use a thermometer, not just, oh, well, it looks white enough. We'll go with that. So just spending $15 on just a little thermometer. And then when you take out that turkey, temp it in a couple different spots. Mm-hmm. Because it's kind of like how you rest a steak after you pull sure. it off of the grill. There's this beautiful magic that's going on underneath the skin where the juices are kind of moving around, and it's often actually raising temperature as it rests for a couple of minutes. So letting your turkey rest before you cut into it means that it's going to have more time to even itself out temperature-wise, and also it's going to hold on to its juices better. If you pull a turkey right out and cut right into it, it's going to leach off all that delicious liquid and it's going to be a pretty dry bird.
Yep.
So taking your time with resting it, but yeah, temping it at a couple different places, and really, you really want to make sure that's 165 or higher. So check in the breast, check in the leg, check in a couple different spots.
Couple of different and the meaty areas, not against the bone or anything like that.
Yeah. If the thermometer tip is touching the bone, then it's going to register the temperature of that bone. So make sure that it is deep in a couple different spots, but not touching a bone.
Okay. So we got that. Oh, I know what I was going to say. You mean I can't just trust the little plastic pop-up temperature thing that says we're done?
Yep. Get yourself a thermometer. It's totally worth an investment. And there's a lot of times in cooking that it's very helpful to, you know, it's not like you just use it once and throw it away. No, I mean, you're going to be making pork loin the next week or something else. You want to make sure that, make sure that before you use your thermometer that you've properly cleaned and sanitized it. Yeah. If it's dirty and just kind of hanging out and it's got a bunch of stuff on it and you stick it into your bird, guess what? You've just contaminated your food. So when you're not, before you use your thermometer, clean and sanitize it. And when you're done with it, clean and sanitize it.
Yeah. Don't worry. I do have one. I actually use one. So
absolutely.
It's pretty easy to do, and got the digital one, and you know, I can clear the temperature and I put it in. Check it, and if it's not quite where it should be, mm-hmm. then just kind of wait and let it cool or cook some more and then put her back and try it again and see what's happening. So
absolutely. So. And the other thing is that when you have those leftovers, it's important that you we're not just letting them sit out. You know, there's a tendency sometimes that, you know, your family will set up the buffet. Yep. Everyone goes up and eats and all that food is just sitting out for several hours unattended while people are watching football or socializing. It's very important that we are putting away our leftovers. It's important to try and cool things down quickly. As I said, there's that temperature danger zone. So if I got a big half whole, like hot turkey and I put it in my fridge, if it's still steaming hot, it's going to raise the temperature of my fridge and possibly time temperature abuse all the things in there. So when you have something like a turkey or something big, it's important to just try and cut it down to smaller portions. So that way it can cool quicker.
And that's what I was going to say too. Cool quickly. A lot of people say, well, I don't want to raise the temperature in the oven, so I'm going to let these cool off. There is, within reason, I mean, let's not leave them there for 2-3 hours.
Yes, of course. So we need to make sure that we are storing any perishable leftovers in our fridge within 2 hours of serving. It's best to try and have small, shallow containers, so that way it's going to cool quicker than those big, large containers. Metal containers cool faster than plastic containers, and we need to try and use all leftovers within those 4 days. If you're going to reheat any leftovers, you should be heating those to 165 because there's kind of an assumption that you are, you know,
you're even back to the beginning again, aren't you?
Yeah, exactly. Or even if it's, you know, warming up some yams, you know, you got it hot, it entered the temperature danger zone, it hung out there for a while, and then as you were cooling it down, it still was in that temperature danger zone. So cooking all leftovers to 165 is one way of reducing foodborne illness.
I was going to say, this is all part of that plan ahead. When you're planning ahead for what you're going to be making, things like that, but also plan ahead for what you're going to be storing afterwards.
Absolutely.
And besides, if you got that turkey out of the fridge, you got space now to put it.
Absolutely. And, you know, let's be honest, sometimes we make way too much. You know, oh, you know what? We got the family coming over. Let's make a couple of turkeys. And then you have so much turkey, but after a couple of days, you don't want to see turkey for a while. So if you are one of those people that's kind of planning ahead, or maybe you made a bunch of food, a whole bunch of family showed up, and then they're out there in a couple of days, and then, you know, you living as one or two people, all of a sudden now you have all this food. I do suggest trying to safely freeze it. And if you know that you're going to, like, this is way more turkey than we're going to possibly eat in a couple of days, there's nothing wrong with taking it off, you know, getting it off the bone, putting it in a freezer Ziploc, labeling it properly, taking all the air out, and then pop it in your freezer because, you know, maybe you're going to make some soup later.
Sure.
I also do the same thing actually with my bones. I love chicken stock. I love turkey stock. I think it's one of those magical ingredients. And so I have totally also just bagged up and frozen the bones because later I'm going to make a chicken stock or a turkey stock. I think planning ahead, if you know that you're not going to get to all of it, planning ahead, popping in your freezer, it's one way of reducing food waste or increasing the chance that you're going to get sick later.
Because you can always make a turkey commercial or whatever later, chicken.
That's no question. I mean, turkey noodle soup is delicious. Oh.
So there's a lot of options. Big thing, plan ahead.
Yes.
And then clean.
Yes.
Clean, clean.
Yes, clean. Yeah, you should have clean hands, have a clean kitchen, clean cutting board. Because if things are, if we're just leaving, if we have contaminated equipment and we're having our food touching it, I can't overstate, people get sick, people do die of foodborne illness every year, and I really want to make sure that everyone listening is safe.
Okay. So, Tom, tell us, obviously people are going to always want to call for questions. Extension's got helpline, and you have information that's available, and there's a ton of people, I know you get the calls too, like, can I thaw this out in the dryer, you know, and stuff like that.
Absolutely. Yeah, no. And so we do have a couple of really great phone lines that I would definitely suggest. So the Iowa State Extension has Answer Line, which is a great resource for all things related to food safety, holiday cooking. It's also like, let's say you have a stubborn stain in your favorite blouse that you can't get out, or I'm doing canning and I want to make sure that I'm doing this safely. So Answer Line is available Monday through Friday and they're really talented at getting people answers very quickly. So that number is 800-262-3804, or you can also email answer@iastate.edu.
Okay.
So answer line is really great. So when you, obviously, you know, you can call the Butterball Turkey line if you want to, but if you have bigger questions about food safety, just kind of like home economy stuff, great resource available. I also am always going to be promoting our Iowa Concern line. So if you are somebody who is experiencing, needs some stress counseling, or you are having some really difficult feelings, or maybe somebody ripped off your identity and you need legal advice, you need financial support, support information.
Yeah.
Call the Iowa Concern Line. They're available 24/7. They have trained staff to take their calls. Holidays can clearly be a little stressful. You know, maybe some people you haven't seen in a while and you're not really sure how to manage those situations. So calling the Iowa Concern Line is totally free. And as I said, they'd have free legal advice. And so if, you know, somebody stole your identity or you're in crisis, please, please give us a call at 1-800-447-1985. So the answer line, I'm going to say these numbers one more time. So the answer line, so if you're looking for food safety information kind of home economy, that number is 800-262-3804. And then the Iowa Concern line, which is for legal and stress counseling, is 1-800-447-1985.
And always look online if you want to get ready. The shop, what is it? Shop Smart, Eat Smart?
Spend Smart, Eat Smart. Spend Smart, Eat Smart. We kind of touched on it earlier, but we know that grocery prices are kind of through the roof right now. And so if you are looking for a way to still, you know, I want to make some good sides. I know I'm supposed to eat more fruits and veggies, but I'm not really sure where to start. There's really great information on eating well, menu planning, smart shopping, and then recipes. There's also a lot of great videos like, okay, so you told me to buy some broccoli. What am I supposed to do with this? There's a whole section there called Produce Basics on that website that will say, okay, here's broccoli. Here's what you're looking for. Here's why it's good for you. Here's how long you can store it. Here's how you cut it. And here's 6 recipes with broccoli.
Yeah. Easy to do.
Absolutely. The last thing I'm going to say about veggies too is I think veggies sometimes get a bad rap because some people think like veggies are the thing I got to get through to get to my meat and potatoes. And I think there's so many fantastic recipes that are veggie heavy. And so, for instance, like, growing up, in our house when we had zucchini, it was steamed. And I thought steamed zucchini was pretty not delicious. Yeah. I thought it was slimy and kind of weird. But as I've gotten older, like roasted zucchini is delicious. Grilled zucchini is delicious. So if you're somebody who's like, you know what, I don't like broccoli. It's kind of, you know, it's kind of cabbagey and kind of farty and kind of weird and I don't really like it. Try it roasted. Try it a different way because sometimes when you roast veggies, the texture is totally different. So with broccoli, like those little, the little tree tops, they get kind of crispy. And so it's a totally different texture and totally different taste. So if you are somebody who, you know, veggies are a bit of a slog, I would suggest trying roasted veggies, trying grilled veggies, trying them in a different way rather than just steamed.
All righty. Tom Kinert's been our guest on our program today. And again, all this available through Extension. You can find it online through Iowa State University Extension.
Yes, absolutely. Please check us out.
Always there. And, of course, get them back here later on this month and talk about what do we do with these leftovers? And,
exactly.
What about holiday parties coming up? That's when people really leave stuff sitting out a long
absolutely.
Time. That's really serve safe. There. All right. Thanks for joining us.
Thanks so much.